word of God, as it is written in the second letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. These men are springs without water, and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and, by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped from the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. This is the word of God.
Lord, that's our longing in this world, as long as you allow us to live. We know you plan the day we come into our world, and you know the day when we are going to go. And we pray that every day, every moment, every hour, that we will use every second to serve not ourselves, but Jesus, our King, our Lord, and our friend. Thank you for the great joy we have of giving to your work, so that the gospel may move, Lord, not only here in Pinetown, but right across to the ends of the earth. We again pray for our missionaries today who are serving you, some of them in very, very difficult times. Please be with them. And lastly, Lord, we pray for ourselves now. We are coming to a very challenging passage in 2 Peter. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to understand the urgency of this passage. And I pray, Lord, that through it all, our walk with you will be a closer one. Thank you for your wonderful goodness into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles again. As you know, on Sunday mornings this year, we've been going through 2 Peter, and we're going to finish off chapter 2 this morning. So, chapter 2, that passage that Pam read to us, chapter 2, and from verse 20 to verse 22. And can I say right at the start that it really is a very, very challenging passage? But that's the joy, isn't it? Of just working through the books Sunday by Sunday, you tend to touch on things that normally you would not go through. We all learn lots in life, don't we, through different experiences that we go through. And my brother Mark, we've known each other for more than 20 years now, and he reminded me of a story that hurt at the time, I suppose in some ways it still does hurt a little bit, but I learned a very, very big lesson, and it's going to tie in with what we're going to have a look at today. He knocked on my door of my study, and he was immaculately dressed. He looked a very neat, clean, good-living man. He had a very broad Scottish accent, and his name was James. He came with a very, very long story that he'd lost a lot of money and all the rest, and he needed help. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I said to him, James, I would love to help you. I'd love to help you. And so, after a few days, the church was not too happy with us at the beginning, but I took one of the small rooms that we had in the back of our buildings, and I said, James, you can come and live here. And I got a bed for him, a cupboard for him, I got some linen for him and towels for him, and set up a little room for him. And I said, I want you to know that we will look after you as long as you need help. But James, we want to bring you to Jesus. That's the biggest. So he stayed there for a while, for a number of months. And during those months, he came to us one day and he said that he had given his life to Christ. We knelt down, our person who was there, and he said he gave his life to Jesus. Well, that was fantastic. One of great joy for us. Enormous celebration that a sinner had been saved. And he continued. He was with us for about 8 months. He came to every Bible study I took at. Everyone. Every lecture I took at the Bible college, he came. He came to everything. He seemed to be so wonderfully converted. And then one day he came to me and said, Warwick, will you lend me your car? So I said, well, it's not my car, it's the church's car. But James, I'm going to trust you. And I gave him the keys. And he said, I'll be back at 12 o'clock. I remember it as clearly as anything. So I gave him the keys, and all he bottled, 12 o'clock came, of course, and he wasn't there. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, he wasn't there, so I found our warden. And I said, Graham, we're going to have to go and find him. And we found him, eventually. I went up crawling. Yeah, I learned what that's like, eh? Anyway, we went to all the pubs, and we found him in the Royal Hotel. Absolutely motherless. Lying on the floor, absolutely drunk. So we picked him up and put him back in the car and took him back to his little room. And as I went back, I looked on the side next to the driving seat there, and there was a fine from the traffic cops made out to Warwick Cole Edwards. I said, this is another, what's happening here? Going to a red robot, and he had forged my signature. It was perfect. So now I'm in big trouble now. So we took James back, and one thing led to another, and I said, James, I'm willing to forgive you. It was Jesus who gave me everything. But you know what, friends, it broke my heart, eh? It broke my heart that we saw him slowly going back. He stopped going to Bible studies. He stopped reading his Bible. He stopped all that he had professed to have done earlier, and till eventually he was so far away from Jesus, and in doing and saying things that were so foreign to a Christian, that eventually I had to hand him over to the police, and they then deported him back to Scotland. I've never ever heard from James again, but the lesson was massive for me. You see, it was easy to make a shallow decision for Jesus. It was easy for him to say, I've become a Christian. It was so easy for him to say, I prayed the prayer and he signed the card, and now to think he's a Christian. And when he left, he was far, 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 far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the passage that we are having a look at today, friends, is going to deal with something like that. It's not an easy passage for you to listen to or to preach on. Chapter 2 of 2 Peter is very, very thought-provoking, isn't it? It's dealing with the false teachers. That's the context. So what we have seen in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, we had a look at the great danger that they have. They come into your churches. They come into your lounge. They come into your TV screen. They come into your bookshops. They come to your homes. They knock on your doors. They are everywhere. And we went through the great dangers that they bring. In verse 4 to verse 10, Peter reminded us of their condemnation. We had a look at the flood. We had a look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And then last Sunday, from verse 10 to verse 19, their character. What are the five characters that you look for? So that you can pick up a false teacher, and you can pick up someone who is wandering away from Jesus Christ. Now he closes off with the last thought, and that is their retrogression. How they go back. listen to verse 20, friends. Will you keep your eyes open at that verse? See verse 20? As Peter speaks to us about them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverb is true: a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Just three things, my brothers and sisters, I share with you, if I may. The first thing, have a look at their past. You see, here were these people who have now become false teachers. What was it like in the past for them? Notice three things. Number one, notice that they escaped the corruption of the world. That's what Peter tells us. It's very, very clear there, verse 20. If they have escaped the corruption of the world. Now, you all remember that verse in 1 John, same thing, where John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So there was a point in time where these men and women escaped the world. And you could see it, friends. You would have noticed it clearly. Their habits changed. They stopped doing what they used to do. Some of the things that were not always honoring to Christ, they stopped. Their language changed. Their habits changed. Their priorities changed. Their desires changed. They professed to have escaped the world. And the danger is that you and I see this happening and we say, wow, they've become a Christian. They've become saved. Look at the change. Look what's happened. They have escaped from the corruption that is in the world. It's a big thing. The world, my brothers and sisters, is a fallen world and it's corrupt. And these people professed to have escaped. Number two, notice, by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there appears to have been an intellectual understanding of Christ. Let's go back to my friend James. There was a clear intellectual understanding of Jesus as Lord and Savior. But you see, friends, I know he's very old in his writings, and the language is sometimes old-fashioned, but Matthew Henry is still one of the best. He says this as he summarizes. He says, some people are for a time. They are kept from the pollutions of the world by their knowledge of Christ, but they are not savingly renewed in the spirits of their mind. A religious education has restrained many whom the grace of God has not renewed. If we receive the light of the truth and have a natural knowledge of Christ in our heads, it may be of some present service to us. But we must receive the love of the truth and hide God's word in our hearts, or it will not sanctify and save us. So there was a point in time when these people not only escaped the corruption in the world, but they had an intellectual understanding of Jesus. But the tragedy was, my friends, are in heart, and they were not truly saved. That's the problem. And I'm going to stop there for a minute to just remind you today of some huge dangers. Leon Miller put it like this: the reference shares to a general knowledge of Christ, exactly of the kind that is imparted in a shallow revivalism. Emotional decisions which follow often bring outward moral reformation for a time. But it's on the surface. There's no new birth. There is emotional feeling, but not a change of the will. That's what happens. There's emotional feeling, but no change of the will. There's no real work of grace. Oh yes, it was a bit of change. It was a bit of moral reformation. It was a little bit of understanding about Jesus, and everybody thought it was terrific. Let's have a look at what became, number two. So what's the present? See verse 20. And they are again entangled in it and overcome. They are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. So now what these very same people do? Number one, they again became entangled in the world. And so you've seen them. And the profession that they made, that little change of their lifestyle that you saw, the little bit of so-called religion that they spoke about, begins to dwindle now, and they go back into the world. That's what this passage is. Just like these false teachers. They professed to have understood the truth. I was lectured, I've told you before, lectured by three men when I was at university. All three had earlier been strong believers in the inerrancy of the Bible. They had turned their backs on the Bible. They had turned their backs on the teaching of Scripture. They had become, in my opinion, what we are learning about this morning. And all I could do was write to my father and say, I can't stay anymore. These men will never, ever, ever prepare us for ministry. They again went back. And so they become entangled again in the world. Instead of looking to a deeper knowledge of Christ, it didn't happen. That little bit of head knowledge that they professed, that little bit of moral reformation that they portrayed begins to die, and they go back into the world. Now, Jesus said that would happen. Jesus said these words: these are those who are sown among the thorns, and they hear the word. But, see, that's what Jesus said. It's like those people who hear the word, when you and I share it with them, with love and grace. They hear the word. They may even respond to the word. That says Jesus. But it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things that enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So they go back now. They go back to the life that they lived. They go back now to a life that's totally entangled in the things of the Lord. Not only that, but secondly, they are overcome. So that's a bigger word now. So after this little bit of a religion, after this little bit of a moral change, they've gone back. And they've been totally and completely overcome by the things of the world. What's their position now? Well, the Bible tells us when this happens, see verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on a sacred command that was passed on to them. What the Bible is saying to us now is that their position is worse. It is worse now, friends, than when they first professed to come to Christ. It's worse. Because now they've tried it, now they've nibbled, now they've tasted, now they've made some intellectual thing, now they've just gone into it in a little bit, but they've gone backwards. Now, it's terrible. Michael Green says Peter is convinced that the last state of such a person is far worse than it was at the beginning. They are worse. They are hard. Hard. Manipulate, having no spiritual substance to fall on. The so-called converts now are in a worse moral and spiritual shape than they had ever been before. They are worse. What did Jesus say? Jesus told us what happened. Remember, he said, when an evil spirit goes out of a man, he goes through arid places seeking rest, and he does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, see, finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, so that the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Terrible thing that I'm sharing with you this morning. People turn their backs on Christ and turn their backs and go back to the world and steep in the world and are overcome by the world. It's worse, said Jesus. Not only that, but number two, they turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. When Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning, that's where it started. That's how it started. Did God say, the moment you doubt the precious word of God, doubt always leads to deception. And deception will always lead to disobedience. And disobedience will always lead to death, the four D's. Doubt, deception, disobedience, death. And so this person. And now there's a total rejection of God's law. That's where it begins. The first step to the rejection of the things of God is a rejection of His Word. And that's why to us here at Christ Church, we love the Word of God. We seek to build up people in their relationship with God. We teach it systematically, verse by verse. Why? Because it's the Word of God. What the Word of God says, we believe. What the Word of God says we must do, we do. We must be obedient to the Word. So what are the illustrations as he draws this message to a close? See verse 22, my friends. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit. Now, you all know we've got our two very precious little dogs, Beckham and Nora. Mary just absolutely loves her dog thing. But the terrible thing is that if ever you notice one of them is not well, and it vomits, what happens? They go back to the vomit. They sniff at the vomit. And they sometimes pick it up again. The dog returns to the vomit. And you know, it's quite a strong thing to say from a pulpit. But that's what happens when people and false teachers profess Christ and then go back to the world. They are going to vomit. It's like a dog going to the vomit. Or... it's like that sow, that pig. You can get this pig. You know Wilbur. Have you ever met Wilbur? We'd love you to meet Wilbur. Wilbur is at Hebron Haven. Mary and I love to go to the Dargle sometimes. It's the most beautiful part of KZN. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. There's a little guest house there called Hebron Haven. And Wilbur is there. Wilbur's a pig. And we thought we'd have a chat to Wilbur there. We love old Wilbur. Now, if I had to get Wilbur and say to him, Wilbur, let me take you into one of those little rooms and I'll wash you in the most... what is a nice lady's bathroom? No. You get the most expensive thing and you put Wilbur under the hose pipe and you put this thing and you wash Wilbur. You say, there you are, my Wilbur. Now, you go meet the guests who will be coming for lunch. Where does Wilbur go? He goes back into the mud. Doesn't he? That's where Wilbur goes because he's a pig. And that's what you will find. The two illustrations that the Apostle Peter is using are these. And John Calvin is the most amazing commentator. And he pulls those two together. Let me read them to you. I found them fantastic, helpful, wonderfully helpful. He says, the gospel is a medicine. It purges us as a whole. But there are many dogs and pigs who swallow again and they're brought to their ruin. The gospel is like a basin which cleanses us from all our dirt and all our stains. But there are many pigs who immediately after they are washed, they go and roll back in the mud again. And you know, maybe even here your heart is sore and your ears and your eyes are hurting and you're crying inside because you say, you know, that's my mom. That's my dad. That's my daughter, that's my son, that's my neighbor, that's my friend. They used to come with me, they used to love the things of God, they used to pray with me, and now they're in the mud and they're in the vomit. So says Calvin, the godly are warned to be careful of these dangers if they do not want to be included in the ranks of dogs and pigs. Please forgive me, friend, I can only share from the heart as one sees the Bible. But how many of you haven't come here? You haven't been to church for a long time and you're visiting Christ just one time. And if people had to look at your life today, that's what it is. Your life today is wallowing in the vomit. And you're wallowing in the mud. In the past you used to follow Christ, but you've turned your back on that now and you've turned your back on the Bible. I want to say to you today, why don't you come back? Why don't you come back? I urge you to come back. Maybe what happened is you made a shallow emotional decision to follow Christ. It was on the surface. It wasn't right from deep down. And you've gone back into the world, and you've gone back into your old life, and you've gone back to the vomit, and you've gone back to the mud. What really happened long ago was not real. And you say, wait, I want to become a real Christian. I'm real, 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 real Christian. If any man is in Christ, he's a brand new person. The old has gone, and everything becomes new. That's what happens. When there's a real work of grace, God who calls, God who predestines, God who saves, God who regenerates, God who justifies, God who sanctifies, God who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. When there's a real, real conversion, this will never happen. Because you'll grow and mature slowly into the image of God. The false teacher, they knew the truth. For those of you who love church history, go and read the life story of John William Colenso, from KZN, or Cardinal John Newman. It's very sad. They knew the truth, and they turned their backs and went to the vomit. Well, let's pray, my dear friends. It's always good just for a few moments before we go. Just think over what we shared. Sorry it's been a bit negative today. Sorry it's been a bit hard, I hope not from the heart, but very thought-provoking. All I ask is everything all right with you and Jesus today? Are you growing spiritually? Or have you gone back to the world? Are you wallowing in the mud, in the vomit? You want to come back? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me, gracious Father, in the way everlasting.